You're listening to the All Systems Go podcast, the show that teaches you everything you need to know to put your business on autopilot. Learn how to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business the right way with your host, the professor of automation himself and founder of Automation Bridge, Chris Davis.
Welcome to the All Systems Go podcast. I'm your host, Chris L. Davis, the founder and chief automation officer of Automation Bridge, the place online to learn about small business marketing and sales automation, where we focus on turning digital marketing professionals into automation service providers. And if that's you, if you're a digital marketing professional that would like to become an automation service provider, please visit automationbridge.com/ASP. In today's episode, we're going to discuss the process of going from freelancer to startup company with Michael Hunter, who is the co-founder of Spiffy Checkouts and the founder of personalbrand.com. I know Mike personally, and over the past decade, Mike has worked with a wide range of online entrepreneurs and has an impressive track record, having helped people make their first dollar online, all the way to working with internet marketing household names like Brendon Burchard and just overall household names like Oprah, Larry King, and others. He has a unique perspective for what it takes to create successful businesses and a successful life. You'll see that in the podcast, how he marries the two. He lives in Arizona with his wife, Amanda, and when they aren't working, they're exploring the Southwest in their Jeep and by foot. You talk about lifestyle design, and you're going to get all of that and more in this episode. Before we jump into it, if you're new to the podcast, make sure you listen to this episode in its entirety. Once you're done, you'll see the invitation on the bottom, at the end, I should say, where I will invite you to subscribe and leave a 5-star rating and review. If you can't help yourself and you're just like, I have to do it now, the intro sold me, so be it. But I'd like for you to at least get one episode under your belt so you know what you're rating and giving a review for. For those of you who are listeners and haven't subscribed yet, make sure you do so. The All Systems Go podcast is in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. You can subscribe on YouTube and watch the podcast or listen to the podcast there. So while you're at it, your 5-star ratings and reviews are greatly appreciated. If for any reason you're having some troubles finding out where to leave a 5-star rating and review, we have you covered. You can go to automationbridge.com/review. We'll capture it and get it posted to the appropriate platform. All right. With all that being said, let's jump right into the episode. Mike, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad to have you on. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, man. It's always great to chat with you.
Man, absolutely. Mike, it's been years, man. I'm sitting up here thinking about Icon. I've lost track.
Oh man, I forgot. Yeah.
How many years that is, but it's been a pleasure to watch your transition. You and Jeremy, your transition to, you know, being a consultant and helping these big brands market and, you know, and now you've got this software and I know we're going to talk about it, but man, it's refreshing because you don't often see people who hang around a long time and stay authentic and, you know, still serve the market in a high capacity, man. So, this is going to be fun. So I know about you. I know about you and Spiffy, and I've had the pleasure of being integrated at the early stages. And I remember when it was injectable, I think we were injecting code on the soft checkout pages. Oh man, the stories. So anyways, not leave the listeners out. They're like, what are you talking about? Injecting code where? What? But my legacy Infusionsoft folks know exactly what we're talking about already. But yeah, give the audience some insight about you, your business, your background.
Yeah. So Spiffy Checkouts is a software product that makes it really easy for small business owners to take payments online through their website. And that's the big problem that we're solving for. You know,
yeah.
currently today it's 2021 and it's the same thing today as it was 4 or 5 years ago. It's still way too hard for the average business owner, freelancer, online entrepreneur to figure out, how do I take a dang credit card payment through my website? How do I make it look good? How do I bring Amazon style best practices to my small business? Things like offer bumps, one click upsells, passing sales data back to my CRM, applying tags and triggering marketing automation, having a seamless integration, seeing the data in and performance of my online business without having to export 15 different reports from 3 different systems, you know? So it's like all that stuff should be easy in 2021 and it wasn't. And we used all of the different tools out there and in our freelance business and our agency over the past decade and realized that the perfect solution didn't really exist. And so we're like, all right, we're just going to saddle up and start building it. And so, we started as just a very simple Infusionsoft app. And that was a way for us to bootstrap our software company and not have to go out and raise money and, really test and validate the idea first and then make sure it was worth pursuing. And so, it's kind of a little bit of synopsis of where we're at today, kind of what Spiffy does. Just kind of looping back to a little bit of the conversation that you started with our humble beginnings, just like starting as an Infusionsoft app. And so, you know, a lot of people saw that like, oh, this is kind of a cool little app company. But from day one, we had a bigger vision. And that was just the stepping stone for us to be able to fulfill that vision without being pressured to pivot or to, have inorganic growth and ultimately crumble or, with VC money or something, you get kind of used to having the big amounts of VC money, spending a bunch on ads when you might have the illusion that you have a successful business when you don't type of a thing. So we're huge, huge proponents of bootstrapping, of solving a real problem in the marketplace. And everybody's trying to hit grand slams on the first pitch and have these like crazy growth trajectories and raise all this money. And, we just decided to carve a different path, actually help customers have the space in our calendars and our team to, offer more of a white glove service than really any of our competitors can offer. And that's really important to us.
I think you can't get enough of it, man. I really don't. I'm glad for founders like yourself, you and Jeremy, because I had Ethan Denny of ConvertFlow on here, and he has a very similar approach. It's just like, look, we could go blast the market, just like growth, hurry up, churn and burn. But to truly serve the industry, I think it's what's needed, man. There's so many tools. Thank you, AppSumo, because they add to it too. It's like all the amount of tools that a person can get overwhelmed by is increasing, not by the day, but by the hour. I mean, as an experienced automation professional, it's my job to know the software that's available and know the interworkings of it. There's no way I can keep up with it. So I've limited even my view or my time to inspect software until the company has proven like, okay, this is not just a quick, I'm in here to get some money, get some users, and then I'm out of here. So man, it's refreshing. So tell me about this as a marketer, what was your gateway into marketing that eventually led you to Infusionsoft and Spiffy and everything? Did you feel like you were born with the marketing spoon? Like, this is what I always want to do. Or did you stumble upon it like so many others like myself?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely was not in the game plan that I thought my life would take, or the vision that I had, and definitely kind of stumbled into it in a way. And for a while, didn't really realize why I liked it so much. And I thought it was kind of like, oh, I'm like going down this different path. So I started my first 100% commission direct sales gig when I was 17 years old. Wow. And at that time, I also had this little part-time job at this catering company. And, that was a defining moment in my life where I realized, hey, like, I'm going to work twice as hard as, most other people. And I want to make sure that I reap the rewards of the effort that I put in. Yeah. And so from that point forward, I always knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. At that point, I was really big into architecture. And I wanted to own my own architecture firm at some point. Ended up going to college for architecture, ended up graduating with a business degree, and fell into marketing and realized that marketing and architecture have a ton in common. Both are a perfect balance of science and structure, but also creativity.
Wow.
So now I architect systems, architect funnels, architect checkout systems to help people make money online. And I found that I'm more passionate about that than I was, you know, kind of designing spaces for people to live or work or play in type of a thing. So marketing was definitely something that I fell into, but like have a deep, deep passion for it. I think that's a big differentiating factor when it comes to Spiffy too, is that, you know, we're not just a software company. Like, we also have the history of implementing big marketing campaigns.
Yes.
Jeremy and I were basically outsourced CMOs for Brendan Burchard for 2 full years. We built a whole marketing team for him, did his Oprah course promotion, his Larry King promotion, worked with those teams and had a lot of really cool experiences, like operating at the highest end of really that kind of the author, speaker, coach, personal brand space.
Yes.
And we just built a really great product and kind of serving and kind of bringing some of those marketing type, features and benefits and stats and figures, and just like making them readily available within our app.
Yeah. And I think it's important for people to understand who the founders are behind the software, because a lot of times when you get a founder who has such an exhaustive marketing background with results, right? It's not like you're saying, hey, I sent an email for Brendan Burchard. Oh, hey, I built a landing page, like just one for, you know, Frank Kern. Like, you've actually been a very instrumental, you know, in the growth. So you can trust the judgment, right? For marketers, we know we don't have to explain to you what we need, because you still have the scars. You take off your shirt, you've got all the marketing wounds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Know,
from the battlefield.
For sure.
Right. So it's great. And what I really like about your migration through the various phases of your career is you've been able to go from freelancer to agency to software company. And I can't help but imagine there are many people that are aspiring to do the same thing, right? There's this freelancer that wants to do more. They're doing what they need to do right now, right? I see this all the time. They are a traditional CEO. They're the visionary. They're the connector. You know, they're the person that can really drive the company, but they're operating in the capacity of the marketer, you know, the engineer, or I should say the web developer, the designer, the copywriter. And I get it. I truly get it. But understanding early that, hey, eventually I want to have this. You use the word vision, you know, earlier, and yes, and just staying true to that. Tell us about that. Let's go step by step. Tell us about the first transition from freelancer to agency and why you made that instead of just kind of growing your freelance consulting gig, or, you know, your book of clients bigger. What was that? What were some of the considerations and decisions going from freelancer to agency?
Yeah. So, you know, I basically built my first website when I was in college for a family friend for $200. I knew a little bit HTML from like the MySpace days. And I'm like, yeah, like I can figure this out. Like, I had no idea how to build a website, but I knew enough that I knew that I could figure it out.
Yep.
And to me, I'd rather have somebody pay me and have a little bit of pressure to like learn it quickly. And again, it wasn't like a tight deadline or anything like that, but I'd rather get paid to learn than to just kind of sit there in a vacuum and maybe one day, you know, hopefully build a website for somebody type of a thing. So, but you know, the evolution really just comes down to like what you're looking to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone wants to be the next Mark Zuckerberg, but like, do you really want that? You know, do you really want that pressure? Do you really want like all of the responsibility and liability that comes with operating something at that level?
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people that are just freelancers and they have a good book of clients that make a solid six-figure income and they can like travel and work from wherever they want.
Yep.
You know, as soon as you start building a bigger business, there's a lot more responsibility and cost and risk that takes on too. So
that's true.
I level the conversation there, saying that, you know, being a freelancer versus an agency versus a software company versus being a billionaire, like there's no right answer. There's only a right answer for you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, ultimately going from freelancer to agency, the most important thing there is to productize and systemize and offer a productized service. And so that was the biggest kind of mindset shift going from freelancer, where you're just like taking any type of business from anybody willing to pay you just to pay the bills, to kind of like niching down, not only to a specific avatar, but to, you know, a smaller subset of services so that you can start to produce a predictable result. You know, whenever you're doing everything custom, every single client, you're basically starting from square one, and there's a learning lesson, and there's there's scope creep, and there's things that you didn't account for. So that's really the biggest, I think, you know, we could do like a full, like 4-hour workshop just on this topic alone. But there's one thing to walk away from. If you're going from freelancer to agency, create systems, create processes, focus down on a specific type of service. It makes it easier to get a predictable result, and it makes it easier to hire contractors, team members, employees to your productized process or productized service. So it just makes everything easier. It makes it easier to sell, makes it easier to hire to, and easier to scale. And when I say scale, I don't necessarily even mean to $1 million or $10 million. You might just be able to scale yourself out of doing most of the work, so you have a little bit more freedom in your life. So at the end of the day, it comes down to like what you want as an entrepreneur, what your vision for yourself is, and just making sure that you're building something that's going to get you there.
Yeah, man. You know, for those of you listening that don't know what productized services is, it means packaging your services in a way similar to a product, right? Like when I go to the grocery store and buy something, I can read on the box what's in it, right? Like I don't, every time I go, it doesn't change. If I bought Fruit Loops today, if I can go and buy that same box tomorrow and it's going to satisfy my sweet tooth, it won't necessarily satisfy my hunger, but temporarily it'll give me something pleasing, right? So that product is for a specific outcome. And I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the things I caution freelancers from doing is creating your product on the fly. Like, and this goes into the just trying to close and say yes to anything. I like to ensure, and I still practice this. I will define my product on paper, what it does, what it doesn't do, you know, like the price, the deliverable, the transformation, everything. And when I'm talking to somebody mentally, I have maybe three products, which are services, in my mind. I'm just trying to see which one of these will be a good fit. And guess what happens if none of them are a good fit? Hey, well, maybe I can find a resource or somebody to refer you to, but I'm not going to go. I am not going to customize my deliverable for every audience. Not only does it introduce all of these variables for myself, but when you talk about one, like focus on one thing and one result, dude, I don't know that result because I'm always changing stuff. Like at some point, remove the variables and have your constants, and you'll be amazed at how easy it is to niche down, because you become known in the market for that.
Totally.
Thing, you know,
exactly. And you start to create a magnet. So, you know, people are coming and seeking out your services versus you having to go and scramble to find business. So like, if you are really great at building funnels, like, what does that mean? How can you narrow that down? You know, maybe there's part of it that you really like and part of it you don't. Maybe you really love the Facebook ad side of it and the lead generation side of it. Maybe that's the part that you least like. You just like building out, you like more like the copywriting and stuff of the funnels. And so like whatever it is, whatever you can niche down in, or creating a specific type of funnel, like I only do webinar funnels. I only create funnels that create phone appointments, you know? So if you're a coach or a consultant, I'm the guy that can get your phone ringing or get your calendar full. And so you start to niche down, because people want to hire people that they are confident that can get a specific result.
Yep.
And when you have a system or a process or a specialized service that can get that result that people are looking for, you can charge a premium. It's easier to like hone in your own marketing efforts to get in front of the right people. And you know, everything that you said too, it just makes everything easier. It's scary at first, but as quickly as you can get to that point and start to have a filter for who's a good client, who's not a good client, the easier it is going to be to, you know, have success kind of growing a small team and going from there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll say this, man, you get comfortable with saying no, you know, you realize you're more defined by what you say no to than what you say yes to. And the problem with a lot of people is they don't say no enough. So they never know who they are because they're just like, they just find a way to say yes. And I say that not in a blaming, judging way, but I say that from like a, hey, I've recovered way. Like I've got the coins every year, my sobriety coin of saying yes to everything. And breaking free from that was so freeing, you know, and it really helped me find my space, you know, in online, in my tribe and my people, man.
And, you know, you want to get to a point where you're saying no more than you're saying yes. So that's like a good like barrier. Like if you're saying no, like one out of every 10 times, then there might be a sign for you to niche down further. Maybe. Yep. And there's a season in your business where you have to say yes to everything, right? Like you have to say yes to put food on the table, but as quickly as possible, like get down to a point where you're saying no more than you're saying yes. And I also think there's, you know, this is kind of a bigger picture, I guess like comment or statement or sentiment about entrepreneurship in general is that, there's also just this kind of stigma that if you're not working 16 hours a day, then you're not really trying. So you don't want to get in a position where you're saying yes to okay opportunities and you don't have the capacity to say yes to good or great opportunities. Yep. And so hustling for the sake of hustling. Again, there's a season in your business where you need to hustle like mad to get things up and running. Yep. But there's a point where you do want to have the capability and the capacity to take a step back from your business and work on your business and not in your business and make sure that you're considering opportunity cost with every single client that you bring on and things of that nature.
Yeah, spot on, man. I personally would not be attracted to somebody who's been hustling for like 10 years. There was a point in time where I was just like, oh, man, no sleep team, like team, no sleep. We stay up there. What? Who needs a bed? Just a floor for 10 minutes and back at it. And now, you know, I'm looking for people who are balanced. I mean, it probably plays into my family, probably plays into that. Right. Like I do not want to be tied to a computer. But overall, man, it like you said, seasons and understanding the season that you're in. You should not be in hustle season for your business for 10 years. There's some systems missing. There's some processes that are not streamlined. There's some vision that needs to be cast. There's some clarity, you know, that's not there. And that's a stronger indicator that maybe I need to reassess how I'm operating. And for you, you had a form of a reassessment, right? You're having experience. I mean, I should say success. You're having success with the agency model. Right. You've productized down, you've niched down and people you're now magnetic. And as you said, you've got 8-figure businesses that you're doing work for. And in that you saw a trend that led you. I'm assuming I'm kind of leading you into this question here.
Saw
a trend that led to the next step, which is from agency to software. So now let's talk about that transition with you. Having success, by the way, right? Why did if it ain't broke, don't fix it? Why did it not apply there? You know, and what drove you to take that next step into software?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, again, it comes down to vision and kind of hit this point in my life where I was making more money than I really anticipated making at that age. And I still wasn't happy. I was still way stressed out, like just not like really enjoying life. And I started not to like what I was doing. And it was just kind of a weird moment and just realized that like, even though the money was good and I was, you know, doing things at the highest level of the industry, something was still missing. And just realized that, in the card, like what we were doing, like we were implementing at the highest level of the industry. And, you know, we were working with clients that were paying, you know, $15,000-$30,000 retainers. And I'm just the type of person where if somebody's, you know, paying that amount of money, like we're going to deliver no matter what time it is. Phone rings 2 a.m. in the morning, like I'm picking it up, I'm hopping my computer and I'm, you know, doing whatever I need to do. And so, you know, when you're in your early to mid 20s, like you can do that. But I was like, hey, like this just isn't in the card. Like I can't be running like this for the next 15, 20, 30 years. And so it's like, we just, both me and Jeremy, my business partner, you know, had those conversations, and both of us were on the same page. We're like, yeah, like, okay, like we're in this industry. Like we hit all these frustrations with all these different types of software, and both of us wanted to get into building a software app. And that was kind of our kind of what we thought at that time was kind of our way to transition out of services into creating a business, you know, kind of going back to like hustling for 10 years, like both Jeremy and I were hustling for 10 years and kind of like a truth bomb or a litmus test. Is like, if you're hustling for 10 years, like you might not be a business owner. You might be just a freelancer. And so there's like this level of honesty that you need to have with yourself, and kind of litmus test is like, okay, if you stepped away from your business for 90 days, if your business revenue doesn't maintain itself or go up, then you don't actually have a business. Right. So like, and having some of these realizations, like, you know, we had an agency, but at the end of the day, it was still dependent on Jeremy and I kind of product managing. And, you know, at the end of the day, like making sure that, you know, all the last minute stuff was fixed or making the little tweaks. And so we realized like, shoot, man, like, yeah, we got a team, but we're just glorified freelancers. And, you know, and so it's like, okay, we got to actually find a way to build a business, because when you have a business and you have systems and processes and operations that function without you, that's the ultimate like path to freedom. And so that's kind of the path that we went from, you know, kind of freelancer to building a small agency and building a team and operating at a very high level to transitioning into a software company. And you know, we had about 20 different software ideas and kind of whittled it all down to one that we executed against, and that's Spiffy. And you know, that's all we do today is focus on you know, building the best checkout product in the industry and delivering for our customers.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that in a moment, but you said something. Hey, everybody. So usually I'm the one that drops like the truth bombs and the nuggets, and it's just like, oh my goodness. But did you catch what Mike just said? He said, not me, this was Mike. He said, if you walk away from your business for 90 days and dare we say 30, right? Let's just say some time. Okay. You walk away from your business for less than 90 days, but more than 30, less than 90. Do you maintain your revenue? Does it go down or does it go up? That the answer to that question will tell you the type of business that you have, right? That, and that's a, you talk about some truth serum. That is a shot that, hey, look, you may not want to take it, but you need it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mirror I had to look into. It's not fun. And, you know, so like everybody, you know, wants to, you know, like be successful, have a successful business. And like that reality, being able to look at that also helps you figure out, okay, like, how can I simplify things? How can I systemize things? What can I remove from what I'm doing that it feels like busy work? Or, you know, like it's just one of those mirrors that's hard to look into, but it's extremely valuable. Yeah. If you're able to kind of look at that and then also look how you can improve what you're doing or change what you're doing, pivot, you know, whatever you need to do to, at the end of the day, it's all about building systems and processes and products that you can sell, whether it's through services or digital products or physical products, that ultimately just achieve the quality of life that you want to live and the things that you want to do for your family and the experiences you want to provide for your children and stuff like that. And, you know, lots of times entrepreneurs get sucked into, you know, running a business and kind of let those, you know, other aspects of life suffer, for lack of a better word, and you know we're all building businesses to achieve freedom. And so just make sure that if you're putting in the blood, sweat, and tears for an extended period of time, that freedom's going to be at the end of that road.
Yes, absolutely, man. I had Makil from the founder of Funnelytics on, and we talked about making money versus running a business, right? And I think that there's the lust of making money online deceives a lot of people that they have a business. And if any of you are trying to figure out, okay, these people keep talking about business versus hobby, glorified freelancer, this, this, and that. What you want to look at, for a business has operations, all the areas of a business beyond marketing and sales. Okay. There's other human resources, finances, Do you have systems in place for every operational area of your business that do not require you? Okay, that is the most basic way I can frame it to for you to identify if you have a business or not, because a business is comprised of all of those systems, accounting, like I said, legal. There are people who are making money online and have no legal protection, Mike. Listen to me. You are one false move or somebody stealing your stuff away from being out of quote unquote business. So it's more to it, right? It's more to it. And I love what you said earlier with being real too. I will be the first to have my hand up. I don't want to be a Mark Zuckerberg. I don't want to build the biggest software platform and have all of these people using it and deal with all that comes with it. I'm fine with my pocket of the internet, know, with my expertise. And I just think that, you know, it's appropriate in the context of our conversation to for people to give themselves permission, right? To be as big or small, you know, as they want to be, as long as it matches the desired outcome for you and your life and your family, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, hearing that might, like, it could be overwhelming for some people. Like, man, like, shoot, there's so much I need to do as a business owner. It's just me, like me and my small team or whatever it is. And the important thing, going back to making money versus building a business, there's lots of things that you can do to make six figures. There's very, very few things, almost impossible just to do stuff to make seven figures, utterly impossible to do something that makes eight figures. And so the important aspect of this, like biggest takeaway, is to make sure that the efforts that you're putting in on a daily, weekly, monthly basis are compounding. Like they're building on top of each other, that you're building something, not doing something. And so it's not about having all these things in place overnight. It's just about, okay, like, hey, this is the direction I'm going. I'm doing this type of productized service. Yeah. And every single client that goes through this process, I'm making that process better. I'm not having to create a new process for every single client because every single project's different. Yep. So again, it's not about, you know, having this over. I think that's, you know, we live in this microwave society where everybody wants to make $1 million by next week. But you know, if you make $1 million within the next 5 to 10 years or $10 million within the next 20, you know, like just having a little bit longer term mindset and understanding, hey, I'm building this engine that 20 years from now is going to make me $10 million or whatever it is, whatever your number is. Right. Yep. So that's just kind of the concept. Build something, don't do something.
Yeah, man, that the compounding efforts. Whew, another nugget, by the way. I just want to make note of this, everybody, because he's dropping it. I need you to pick up what he's dropping. when we look at Spiffy, I'm going to look at it in light of ActiveCampaign. I've got a lot of ActiveCampaign users who are listeners of the podcast. A lot of ActiveCampaign users in my program. And I understand there's other platforms, which you all do integrate with other platforms, by the way. So this is not exclusive, but I just want to give you the platform to the pedestal, I'll say, to talk about some of the unique features. And I'm going to lead with two of them specific to ActiveCampaign, but it's how you integrate with all tools. And I want to talk about what it allows business owners to do. So you've got deep data integration, which means you can pass customer information in terms of the revenue and the product directly into ActiveCampaign. Okay. You can create a product in Spiffy. And that's all you have to do when somebody checks out after you've set up the integration. Any product that you create is going to send that data over. You also have a native integration, and that will pass over additional information directly into ActiveCampaign. And just when it was just like, wow, Spiffy's really changing the game. I don't know of any online payment processors that do both, right? But you guys take it to the next level and allow you to look at revenue. So you can see the revenue. This is all internal to ActiveCampaign. When you're logged in, you can see the revenue of the last email that you sent that caused somebody to purchase, as well as a revenue report. So, so I know I'm throwing a lot out there, everybody, but just know everything that I just mentioned is unique. That's not the standard in the market right now. So talk to us a bit about how you were able to differentiate Spiffy in that way, based on the value that you knew you could provide to marketers.
Yeah, I mean, it comes back to us being practitioners in the space and just being so frustrated with the lack of integrations. You know, everybody was just doing Zapier integrations, and Zapier is an amazing tool. And in about 2015, we saw ActiveCampaign emerging. We saw Zapier emerging. We're like, okay, that's the future, building marketing stacks. And there's no tool out there that really specializes in taking payments and like building a really flexible like checkout process. The payments was always a secondary or tertiary feature. You know, you got ClickFunnels, it's a funnel builder, and it also kind of sort of takes payments. You know, you got Kajabi website tool, also sort of kind of takes payments. Infusionsoft CRM marketing automation tool kind of also sort of takes payments. Like, you know, and so it's like, that's the most important aspect of an online business. Like, goodness, why is nobody focusing on this? So you can tell I'm a little bit passionate about this,
right?
You know, and so we just realized, okay, like nobody's doing this right. All those tools are great, but at some level you hit some sort of limitation. If you're just doing basic stuff, all those tools are amazing. I'm not saying all that, but it's just like, we saw that there was a gap in the marketplace for us to like jump in there and just focus on innovating in the checkout space and integrating, like building out best in class integrations with other tools, because we saw that, you know, building your own marketing stack was really the future. And ActiveCampaign was really, I think, the first major company to really plant their foot down, plant the flag in the ground, and really just come out and say, hey, like, this is what we are. We believe in the marketing stack, and this is where we're going to play. So yes, like our Spiffy integration, deep data integration, pass all the sales data over, pass custom field data over. The way that we pass the sales data over to ActiveCampaign makes it available at their data layer. So it's really like, the Spiffy is a great tool, ActiveCampaign is a great tool, and the combination of those two creates an insane amount of power for you as a business owner, because you can start to filter, segment, search, and trigger automations based off of e-commerce data. So you could like run a search in your system, say, okay, who's spent at least $1 with me, but has not purchased anything from me in the last 180 days or whatever the time frame is that's relevant to what you serve, or the products or services that you offer. And so now you can see, okay, who already knows, likes, and trusts me, has already taken out their credit card and bought something from me, but hasn't bought anything from me for a while. I can send those people a different campaign than a cold segment of my list. Because you're going to talk to those people just a little bit differently. So just one example, again, you have the ROI based off of, you know, the last email that they opened, you know, attributing revenue back to the last email. Obviously we apply tags, start automations based off of different things. You can see a lot more information if you go to our website, spiffy.co/ActiveCampaign. Have a landing page, tutorial videos, things like that. Again, spiffy.co/ActiveCampaign. And you guys can kind of get a little bit more information about what we're talking about visually here.
And as a marketer, I can't stress the importance of having access to your contact, email, and revenue data all in one place. Okay. Extra if you can take action on it. So you all add that extra step, and I love it, man. I think that I'm biased. I think that engineers make the best entrepreneurs, and I think marketers make the best software. prove me wrong, feel a certain way about it. But it's something about walking the walk, man. And we can see it. I can see it, at least I'll say, with how you all are building out the app. What's next for Spiffy? You're the visionary, man. I know you see, you've got probably like 100 features that you're taming yourself so that you don't get overwhelmed and get ahead of yourself. But if you could share whatever you'd like to share with our audience, what are some upcoming features you guys are looking to launching and releasing? By the way, on top of your already updated drag and drop builder for your payment pages, order bumps, upsells, by the way, everybody, and you can tag appropriately based on the payment. Like there's a whole bunch of features already in there. Again, spiffy.co, you can go and see a list of all of them, as well as everything that they integrate with. What's next? What are some of the things that are getting you excited that you'll be able to launch for the remainder of 2021?
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty aggressive roadmap. I mean, we're basically on a 3 to 4 week development cycle. So every 3 weeks, we're rolling out like a solid update. At the bottom of our website in the footer, there's a click a link to our roadmap, and we publish our next 90 days worth of development sprint there publicly. So you can always kind of keep tabs on what we've launched recently and what's kind of on the next 90-day roadmap. And you know, this year is a big focus for us to you know, continue to innovate in the checkout space. And we just rolled out an integration with Kajabi, an integration with MemberPress. So we'll have a lot more direct integration with content delivery. In our next update, I think coming out in the next week or so, we'll have the ability to embed one-click upsells. So you can have full control over your upsell process and, you know, just more integrations with more tools. You know, we integrate with all the top CRM tools, but you know, right now the product's at a really good place. Like you said, offer bumps, upsells, options, and being able to tag based off of what they select. Another big initiative for us by the end of the year is being able to build logic or relational, you know, kind of a dynamic checkout process based off of, you know, hey, if they select the offer bump, don't show them the upsell. If they don't select the offer bump, show them the upsell. Those types of things. So those have all been on the roadmap since day one. And our goal is to bring that level of sophistication, which currently with other systems either isn't possible or requires custom code and a developer, just like bring those types of things to the mommy blogger, the non-technical person, the you know, CEO that just retired and just wants to do some consulting, you know, whatever the scenario is, that it's a non-technical person in 2021, those things should not be difficult. And so that's kind of the trajectory that we're on. And some of the things that we're really excited about rolling out this year. There's obviously a lot more than that that I can't disclose, but those are some of the things.
So I know it's probably straightforward and known by now, but is there anywhere that if somebody wanted to find out more about Spiffy, sign up for a account, is there any particular place you would recommend that they go or preference that they go?
Just check out our website, spiffy.co. There's a recorded demo. You can schedule a live demo. And you'll either hop on a call with me or someone else from our team. And we have a 30-day 100% money back guarantee. So we don't really have a free trial, but you can sign up for an account, sign up for a monthly account, kick the tires on it for 30 days, ask questions to our support team. You know, we can hop on a Zoom call with you to help you get set up and running up and running off the races. And if it's not a good fit, like we're in the business of helping people make money. So if it's not the right tool for you, we'll help you figure out which one is. And, you know, here to play a role in helping you succeed online.
Yeah, man. Oh man, thank you. Thank you, Mike. And I want to say this to everybody. Take him at his word. Take Mike at his word. Go try it out. I've just been in this space long enough. People ask what I use. They want. I don't even recommend anything anymore until I know about their process and strategy. I just don't, because I don't want you to look at me as the model, because your strategy may require something totally different. And like you mentioned, I may be talking to somebody who's not as tech savvy as me. I can't in the right knowledge recommend what I'm using, be like, oh yeah, just sign up for this and that. Right. So I don't know what you all need, but listen to Mike. Take him at his word. He is a trusted resource from me. Like, I trust Mike. Okay. So try it out. Go to spiffy.co, try it out. See if it fits your marketing strategy. And just like you heard him say, get a call. And if it's not a good fit, it's not like he's going to be like, hey, well, it's your fault. Just stick with us. You know, it's all about success. And I love when we have founders like yourself that are committed to increasing conversions and of the company's currency more than you are creating, more than you are concerned with creating more customers. So, Mike, I can't thank you enough, man, for coming on to the podcast. Always good to connect with you, man. Thanks, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yes, always. And it what I like about this podcast is people get to see a little bit of like the entrepreneurial day-to-day conversations that we have. You know, like right. This is real stuff. It's not always about conversions, man. It's, hey, man, thinking about position. I'm thinking about moving into software. I need to productize. Like, these are serious questions. And if you don't have these questions, everybody, I really recommend you getting connected in community or with people who are thinking higher than that, if you haven't asked the questions that we've asked today. So with that being said, Mike, man, thank you again, man. I'll see you online, and best of continued success to you and Jeremy with Spiffy, man.
Thank you so much for having us. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you for listening to this episode. I hope that you're starting to see a theme just with all of the guests who are founders. And when they start to talk about, it's more than making money. It's even more than marketing and sales, right? It's having that vision and understanding you're building a business. Okay. It was great to touch those aspects with Mike today on the podcast. And I mentioned it in the podcast, but it's worth repeating. Make sure that you do a thorough assessment of these tools yourself. Now, we do have the podcast that says that where I document who is good to make these assessments. And it may just work out that you're not the best to assess technology for your business. But at least you can send this podcast to somebody who can. And speaking of which, who needs to hear this? Who do you know that's struggling taking payments online? Right now, they want to go online and they just don't know how somebody puts their credit card information and it goes into their bank account and it adds them to their CRM. If you're a marketing consultant, what are you using? Spiffy Checkouts may be another tool that you can recommend to your clients for an easier transition or easier integration with what they're already doing. Okay. So share this episode with them, help them make the best decision for their business. And for my first time listeners, congratulations. You just completed your first episode. So now is the time where I invite you to join the family of listeners, All System Go family, of savvy business owners, small business entrepreneurs, and marketing automation professionals who get this type of training every week. Every Thursday, we release a new episode. So make sure you now go and subscribe and leave your 5-star rating and review. Okay. Here at Automation Bridge, we're dedicated to training digital marketing professionals to become automation service providers. An automation service provider is somebody that understands strategy just as well as they understand the technological landscape available to small businesses right now, and can take those two, marry them in a way to deploy automated marketing and sales systems in your business for rapid growth. So if that's you, I just described what you aspire to be, what you are operating now as, and you want to be more intentional with getting some formal training, community, and just guidance on how to have this career successfully, I want you to go to automationbridge.com/ASP, ASP for Automation Service Provider. That's automationbridge.com/ASP to take the next steps to potentially talk to someone on my team or myself to assess if you'd be a good fit for any of our current program offerings. Okay. We're also accepting guests for the podcast. So if you are, or you know, another SaaS founder like Mike, okay, that has marketing or sales software, we love to discuss their software and their journey. The more software, the more SaaS founders you all can send me on the podcast, the more I can have conversations like this, so you can get to know not just the tool, but the people behind them, understand their vision, and get some confidence knowing that, okay, this tool is going to be around and I agree with their development cycle. Right. Also, if you're a marketing automation consultant experiencing some success, any level of success with your clients, and you like to share that with the collective audience, we all need to hear about it. OK, learning about success, hearing it creates an environment where you can soon embody it. So if you're that SaaS founder, you know one, or if you're that marketing automation consultant, both, go to automationbridge.com/guest submit your information so that you can be a guest on the All Systems Go podcast. All right. Let me say this for those of you who are struggling, who just can't seem to get automation in place. I understand your frustration. I know that the need for somebody who knows how to do automation is greater now than it's ever been. Let me tell you, help is on the way. As people listening here are going to automationbridge.com/ASP. And those of you who need help are reaching out directly to us here at Automation Bridge. We are doing our best to serve the market. Just know that you're not alone. And we are on the job. All right. All the show notes and podcasts are accessible at automationbridge.com/podcast. You can subscribe there and listen to all the other episodes at your leisure. So until next time, I see you online. Automate responsibly, my friends.